And this is very striking, Brother Emil, because I think this is very consistent with the characteristics of the Gospel of John. This is the Gospel where the Lord Jesus said to his own, "I am the way." Well, people might find a lot of other ways, but those ways will probably end short at one point. And I think, going back to what Brother Dave was asking, at least there is two reasons where the Lord Jesus comes in here to be informed that they have no wine. They have no wine because all the other cisterns of this world, no matter how much water it brings, it will leave the person that tries to dig them still thirsty. And the Lord Jesus, in the same Gospel, in the Gospel of John, gives that wonderful communication. Well, the water that he gives, first of all, it would never run out. Second, it will satisfy. And third, it will be the contrast between what he provides versus any other source that provides. Let's not lose sight that the first, Brother Emil mentioned the first mention of joy, the first mention of transformation of water was in Exodus chapter 7. And without going into dispensational things, unless Brother John would be angry, it's very important to note the contrast there between Moses that could come with a staff and transform the water into blood that had brought death. Here we do have that wonderful man of joy that comes to a wedding in a small Galilean place named Cana. Cana means a need. Well, would the Lord go to a place that humbled? Yes, absolutely. So it's wonderful to invite the Lord into all our circumstances. Minor ones. Do we need to invite the Lord into our drive for 15, 20 minutes from home to work? Yes, we cannot make one single step without inviting the Lord into that circumstances that we might be doing every day, but it's very important to realize that.
Without overemphasizing or laboring the truths, I think it's important to realize, how is it possible that he is present, the man of joy, and yet there is the deficiency of joy? I think we are emphasizing the lack of consciousness on my part, on our part, as to putting him in his rightful place. If he is not there, then there will be deficiencies if he's not in the rightful place, even though I may own his presence. I think of the Elimelech in Samuel and Ruth, Naomi rather, leaving the house of bread and going to Moab. If you're leaving the house of bread, it says to me that the deficiency is not in the house of bread, but is in you. And I think that this is what we have here. The deficiency of the joy is not in the lack of the presence of the Lord Jesus, but in the lack of our recognition of his presence.
I think it's telling that the scripture begins with the mother of Jesus. It first indicates that she was there, as opposed to, perhaps, as we've said, the consciousness of the fact that he is in the midst. And perhaps sometimes we know in the world that they begin with the wrong person as the object, and perhaps as believers as well, we may begin with our eyes on the wrong person. And I'm not sure if the Lord was there at the same time as Mary, because it says, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Perhaps it was an afterthought, but certainly he was not the primary thought here. But another beautiful thought is that it's Jesus and his disciples, and how we need the coupling, if you would, of the two in this day and age. Mary is not the object, but Christ is to be the center, the object. And we think of his disciples as the ones that he gave the great commission to, the great responsibility to going forward and establishing the things after his resurrection as it relates to the church and his assembly.
When we consider what is before us, that the Christ Jesus, the first miracle in the Gospel of John and the last miracle are totally opposite, you might say. The first was a wedding, the last was a funeral. In both cases, he was invited because the sisters they sent after him. I just want to take it in a relationship, as we have heard. In the scripture, there are two invitations that are done. The invitation of God, where God had a wedding for his son, the parable tells us, and he was calling, he was inviting people to come in. And there was a complete rejection of men. But over here, there's also the invitation of men for Christ to come in. It's like, for example, the two disciples of Emmaus. The Lord wanted to exercise their hearts to invite him in. There was the exercise of Lydia in Acts chapter 16, where she constrained Paul to come in. And dear brethren, if we really need to enjoy and to be in the good of what the joy God has in mind for you and for me, we have to be persistent in that setting where we need to allow and invite the Lord into our own circumstances. Because every circumstance he comes in, as we said earlier, whether marriage or funeral, he turns it to be an occasion of joy. So we have to invite him into our own circumstances, as we were reminded. So how wonderful to see now the brethren have set before us, the Lord is there, and the Lord is God is preparing the scene, because we're going to find out that the end of that story had a purpose. And that purpose, that he would be glorified. So God is preparing the scene, where as we will go through that story, that the ultimate conclusion that God has in mind, that his son will be glorified. So I'm wondering, we spoke about the marriage, how wonderful it is, and that there was a lack of wine. And then maybe we can take it from there and move forward to see how is that joy in a practical way can be really enjoyed by the company. What was the condition as far as John 2 that had provided such a joy?
But also there is some instruction in what the Lord Jesus' mother have talked to the servant. And I think that is instruction to you and I. If there is no wine, what to do? She told the servant, whatever he tells you to do, do. It is a matter of obedience to his lordship that will bring joy in the believer's life. It is rebellious. If the servant have decided on their own to figure something out, they would have never been able to do that. But it's a complete subjection to him. The lack of joy in the life of the believer is not due to the circumstances. The circumstances are befalling all the sons of men. But it's a matter of subjection and obedience to his word before we even get to the purification. It is obeying his voice. Whatever he tells you to do. And I always say, mothers know best. And that's a good advice from a mother. Listen to the Lord Jesus. Do what the Lord Jesus tells you to do. And he gives us an instruction from his word.
Can I ask a question with an application? Who would be the most disappointed at this wedding that there was no wine? I think it's the bride and groom. What a disappointment. It's their wedding day. And how many weddings are like this? Just an application. How many weddings are like this today? They hardly leave the wedding and they realize it's not working. It's not working. Because they do not have the main ingredient in their life that they need. As Brother Jake said, there needs to be the consciousness of the Lord Jesus as the satisfaction for their lives, as the source of joy, not one another. If we look to one another in our marriages even for joy, we will fail each other. And it happens every day. It's not like we have to wonder about it. It happens every day in this poor earth. So the Lord Jesus has to be the center of a marriage, of a relationship like this, in order for there to be lasting satisfaction, even in that marriage bond.